midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of my hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken in the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in the presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your guidance, for your leading, Lord. You know our hearts, Lord. You know what we want to do, Lord. And we just pray that whatever we do is to your glory, to your honor, Lord. Help us to put you first, Lord. Not ourselves or what we want, but what you would have us to do. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this evening that we have to come out and to worship. Lord, be with us, Lord. Help our hearts and minds to be attuned to what you have for us in your word. Lord, we pray for those who couldn't make it tonight. Be with them. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have anything? Six, six, zero. Weather songs. We just had some weather. There we go. We just had some weather for a change here, so we might as well sing about it. Amen. Amen. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine. sunshine, blessed sunshine. When the peaceful, happy moments flow. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments flow. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Yes. We'll have our offering after this one. 632, the next page over. Thank you, brother. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
Back in 1963, when we bought our house here in Chula Vista. I got out in the backyard and I started planting trees. I planted a plum tree, apricot tree, fig tree, some other kind, I've forgotten now. Later on, I had an apple and an orange. I said, if I'm going to get out here and water trees, I'm going to get some return from it. I got a little willow tree one time and planted it. And it came out and had beautiful little leaves all over it. And I went out there one day and there were worms all over it. Each one of them had its own leaf. And I said, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? But anyway, I had a fig tree. The fig tree was messy. We had great big old bugs of some kind that would come. And when there was a fig out there just about to get ripe, I'd go out there and it would be as big as my fist, but it'd all be bugs. Big old bugs with wings. And finally, I got tired of fighting the bugs. So I cut the fig tree down. Why cumbereth it the ground? I want to talk tonight about fig trees. Not mine, but the ones in the Bible. In the Bible, it's the general consensus of opinion that, and this is among Bible scholars, of course, that the fig tree, and I'm sure you've heard this, represents national Israel. The fig tree, national Israel. And I got to checking it out, and during the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were three different occasions when Jesus had an encounter, so to speak, with fig trees. So we're going to take a look at these tonight and see if we can learn something from the Bible about fig trees, remembering that they do represent the nation of Israel. The first one is in Luke chapter 13. Open your Bible there and we'll look at this fig tree that we call the barren fig tree. A fig tree with no figs on it is a barren fig tree. In Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 6, Jesus teaching here says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. No fruit. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, the dresser of the vineyard, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig around it and dung it, fertilize it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Give it one more year. If it doesn't produce fruit, we'll cut it down. Cut down the barren, unfruitful fig tree. Why cumbereth it the ground? Israel is that fig tree And I want you to think about this. During the 3.5 years earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came unto his own and his own received him not, they rejected him and eventually crucified him. He found no fruit. He put them on probation. This probation lasted for 40 years. Started in AD 29. 40 years. Came up to AD 69. Still no fruit. Israel was actually worse off spiritually than they were when Jesus came. If you can imagine that. So Titus came with the armies of Rome against the kingdom of Israel, the enemy from Rome, 70 AD. They tore down the temple, didn't leave one rock upon another. They destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem, and to wipe it from people's memories, they even changed the name of it. Now, those poor Jews that were living there, multitudes were killed. Others were taken away into slavery. And the rest of them, they were scattered among the nations of the world. Every nation got their portion of Jews. And they were not regathered as a nation again until 1948. That means that for 1,878 years, they were scattered amongst all the peoples of the earth, all nations. They maintained their national identity. A Jew was a Jew, whether you found him in China or Japan or in Hawaii or the United States, Mexico, South America, the continent of Africa, wherever they were Jews. The barren fig tree was cut down. Paul explains all of this in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Really interesting to read concerning Israel. He tells us that God has given them the spirit of slumber. He says that they have eyes, but their eyes are darkened that they may not see. But it's a blindness in part, he says. They have ears, but their ears have been deafened to the voice of God. They cannot hear God speaking. They have stumbled and they've fallen. They're still God's chosen people. They always will be. I was on Facebook and somebody was talking a blurb on there about Iran and the atomic bomb and all of this stuff like that, and about how all we need to pray for Israel. I got a sharp tongue sometimes. I got on there, I don't remember now who put that on there, some preacher, I think. And I says, let it go. We're living in the last days anyway. God is working among his people. We're building up to Armageddon. Let's get it over with. I want to go home. But that's the way it is. You see how things are shaping up over there? One of these days, it's going to explode. We know that. God tells us that in His Word. Because they are unfruitful. But here's the wonderful thing about the fall of Israel. Through their fall, salvation has come to us Gentiles. You stop and think what it would have been like if when Jesus came, everybody would have met Him and said, "Oh, Jesus, we're so glad that You came. Establish Your kingdom here. You know, we accept You as our King. Make us a great nation again. Be our David." And things would be quite different in the world today if that had happened. But it didn't happen. Now, we know that the diminishing of them has brought the riches of God to us Gentiles. Paul, a Jew, said that himself. In fact, the casting away of Israel has brought reconciliation to God from the whole world. God knows what He's doing. Now, some of their branches were broken off because of their unbelief. And Paul tells us that some of the wild branches have been grafted on that we might be partakers of the root and fullness of the tree. So we today know Christ and have the gospel preached to us because the Jews rejected Jesus. Strange, isn't it? But then, of course, God is able to graft them on again, is He not? In fact, when Jesus comes, He says that God's going to take away all of their sins and all Israel shall be saved. God knows what He's doing. He's working these things out. And then Paul, looking at the marvel of it all, says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." That's the barren fig tree. Now look over in Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 12 through 14. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry." That's Jesus. They'd been in Bethany. I bet this is the only time Jesus ever left Bethany hungry. You know why? Because that's where Martha and Mary lived, and Lazarus, and Jesus was always welcome at their house. The latch string was always out. And here He is at Bethany, and He's leaving town hungry. He could have gone over there and had breakfast with them, I'm sure. So He's hungry. "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He was come to it, He found nothing but leaves." Nothing but leaves. for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee henceforth forever. Now the next day, that fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter took a good look at it, and he said, it's recorded in verse 21, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. He had said, let no man eat fruit of thee henceforth forever. And that old fig tree just dried up, withered away. Leaves and all. So here's another fruitless fig tree with nothing but leaves, dried up, withered away. All the leaves on it were signs of life, but there was no fruit on the tree. Now, since the dispersion of the Jews back in AD 70, they have remained in unbelief. Insofar as God is concerned, they are a barren, fruitless nation. They have not responded in one single way as they should have according to God's revelation to them. Again, referring back to Paul's writings in Romans 11. Describes them to a T where they are today. Israel doesn't even claim to be a Christian nation. They won't even say Jesus' name publicly. They tolerate Christians to a point, but if one of their immediate family becomes a Christian, why, they're as hard on their own family, their own children, as the Muslims are. And the Muslims will kill their own children if they become Christians. And the Jews are almost that bad toward our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself was a Jew. The only thing they've got going for them is that they're the children of Abraham, and God made a covenant way back yonder thousands of years ago with Abraham. And God is keeping his covenant with Israel today. Most of them don't even know the Abrahamic covenant. But God is faithful. Now, look over in Matthew 24, verse 32. Jesus says, now learn a parable. A parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, please go back and read tonight before you go to bed, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus talks about all of the things that are going to be taking place. And he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you know that the end is nigh. Are we so blind that we cannot see the handiwork of God in volcanoes and hurricanes and droughts and floods. Don't listen to Al Gore and his bunch of weather people. He's not in charge of it. God has never turned and relinquished jurisdiction over the weather to him or any other man. He doesn't even represent God. God's still in charge with the melting ice caps of Alaska and the breaking up of the Antarctica and all of this stuff. He's in charge of the weather. Now, Jesus said, when you see all these things that he's been talking about in that chapter, know that it is near, even at the doors. It means his return. It means his second coming. It means the things that are written in Matthew chapter 24. He said, these things are going to come to pass. They're even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, get this, here, you want a time? This generation, the budding of the fig tree generation, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. You know, I got started in the religion business. Well, I was raised in Sunday school and church. I was saved when I was 14. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And with the exception of a couple of years when I was in the Navy and actually did not have access to church, I went to church, and after I got out, when I married Rita, she was a Catholic girl. She didn't go to Catholic church. I was a Baptist. I didn't go to the Baptist church. And we didn't go to anybody's church. But I had a mother and daddy that were in touch with God, and they began to pray for us. And my wife got saved, and I got right with the Lord and started going to church regular and serving the Lord and teaching a Sunday school class and a few things like that, you know. And eventually God called me to preach. Now, in my growing up days, I grew up out in the country down in East Texas. They had a lot of churches down there. Transportation people had down there was wagons and horses. Drive their wagons to church, ride their horses. And they didn't have cars. They didn't drive very far. And we would walk a mile to church every time the doors were open. But I don't remember the main thrust of the preaching back in those days. And this is back before World War II, actually, and during that time. I have an idea that most of the preachers gave salvation messages. I don't remember hearing a one about prophecy when I was growing up. I would know prophecy from a hole in the ground. And yet, we went to church. The pastor that we had, he would come and preach for us once a month. He pastored four churches at the same time. Ours was one of the four. And he would come and he would preach on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And then we wouldn't see him again for a month because he was preaching Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, at another church down the road somewhere. And then another one, and then another one. We kept those preachers busy back in those days. And, we had a Methodist church just down the road from our Baptist church. They had a preacher that would come to the Methodist church, and he would preach once a month on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. He would be there. And I can remember our Baptist church was open every Sunday. We always had Sunday school. We didn't have a pastor. We didn't have a preacher there. But the people would meet. We had Sunday school. My dad was my Sunday school teacher. And in the Sunday evenings, we had BYPU. Any of you know what BYPU stands for? That was Baptist Young People's Union. And it was a lot like Sunday school. So we had activities for the youngsters in the community on Sunday night. Had good Bible studies and things like that. And then, like I say, we would go down to the Methodist church and sit there and listen to him preach the one Sunday a month that he was there. That's the only time the building was used. And I do remember the spiritual revival that came right after World War II. And I remember the excitement of God's people over the fact that 5,000 square miles over there in the Middle East, that territory was assigned to the new nation of Israel. May the 14th. 1948. And the sermons that the preachers were preaching, their ministry just did a flip-flop. And every time that you went to church, they were preaching that Jesus is coming. Why? Because the fig tree in Israel and of Israel had budded. And Jesus said, this generation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And then on January the 7th of the next year in 49, they extended their area to 8,000 square miles. And then they had the Six-Day War on June the 5th through the 10th of 67, and they defeated the United Arab Republic and captured all of Sinai. They defeated Jordan, and they won all of the land on the West Bank. And then they took the Golan Heights from Syria, and then they went on to capture and to occupy the old city of Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, that was preached from every Baptist pulpit that I ever heard about. Jesus is coming. Now, my wife was saved in July of 1949. And then in 1950, when I started preaching, guess what my sermons were about? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. That got a hold to me. And for once, it seemed that there were more messages preached from Matthew 24:32 than there were from John 3:16. The religious world was all excited about the return of the Jews to Israel because they took that as a sign of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Back on January the 7th of 1962, I presented my thesis to the Burton College and Seminary faculty as partial fulfillment of the Doctor of Theology degree. And can you imagine the title of it? The Second Coming of Christ. And I still like to talk about the return of Christ. Back in the 1950s and 60s, I had a series of evangelistic messages that I preached in a lot of churches in several states. And the theme of it was, Jesus is coming, the second coming of Christ. I would start out with signs of the times and go all the way through it, developing the thought of the second coming of Christ and take it through the millennial kingdom. And I enjoyed preaching those messages because I believed that we were living on the tiptoe of expectancy and that Jesus is coming. Now, the definition of that word generation. This generation shall not pass till all these things are fulfilled. As Matthew uses it here, it means a group of people living at a particular time in history. We talk about our generation, and we assign our children to the next generation, and our grandchildren to the next. This generation shall not pass. Jesus warns us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5 about watching. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. So if you're not watching, you won't know when he's going to come. That indicates that if you are watching, you're going to know when he's going to come, because you will see the signs of his coming. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me share this with you. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Here's what Jesus taught here. This is some more of Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's our prospect. So you want to stay around here? Well, just hang on, because I'm going up. I'm going to be with the Lord, which is far better, the Bible says. I'm glad Jesus is coming. I still look for him to come. Now it's been, 67 years since Israel has been a nation. That's coming up here in just a week or two, a couple of weeks. 67 years. Between the going away of Jesus when he ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet in Jerusalem, until Titus came with the armies of Rome and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Look how many years you had there. 40. We've already had 60, almost 67. What if 70 is God's magic number? That's 3 years from now. Jesus is coming soon. We compare our daily newspaper with Matthew 24. And when you read one, you're reading the other. These things are coming to pass. Jesus is coming soon. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer to be dismissed from this service. Brother David, would you lead us, please, in our prayer? Amen.
We just thank you for that. And Lord, we see all these things happening in the world, Lord. And we just say, even now, Jesus, come. Come now, Lord. But Lord, we're concerned about family. We're concerned about people, Lord, that are here. Lord, help us to be a light, be a witness.
Amen.
This is the only time, Lord, we know that they will have, is why they are here, Lord, why they are alive, Lord. And just help us to have that burden in our hearts, Lord, that we may want to witness and let people know. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all you've done for us, for our church, for our pastor, for the people here. Suffering with cancer right now, Lord. time when you were